Hello and welcome once again to the CGW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for July 17th, 2006. I'm going to try something new today, and I'm going to say what we're talking about first. So if you don't like these topics after I say them, you can just leave, and we'll just talk anyway.
Sounds like a great idea.
That was kind of hostile.
Screw you.
Here's our today. We're going to do our little round of what you're playing first, get that out of the way. Then a few of the editors here spent the day last Friday, was it? Thursday.
Thursday.
At Electronic Arts, EA's, their big summer showcase extravaganza, showing all their new stuff with at least one big exciting announcement there that we'll talk about. Darren, our news, what?
Dork.
I was going to say like nose hound. That's not a work. Darren's going to give us the news for the week. And we will make fun of him while doing so. And then we're going to answer some of your reader mail. So that's the plan. We'll see if we stick to it. And helping me today are among the following people.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Elliott.
And Sean Malloy.
And since you can't see us in person, you all should know that today, Ryan is sporting one of my favorite shirts of his.
We'll take a screenshot of it. We'll have to take a shot of it.
Tell the folks what your shirt says, Ryan.
My shirt says, "This is what cool looks like."
In the Sega Final S.
That is what cool looks like, Ryan Scott.
It is true.
I don't think any of the rest of us could actually get away with that shirt. Only Ryan could wear that. Because the irony is just so deep.
Oh, yeah.
That was a compliment.
I meant that in a good way. Yeah. So we're a little busy today, y'all should know. We're going to do a regular long podcast, but I want you to know, just because I'm a little resentful that we're sitting here doing this. Oh, I'm making noises. I'm making noises with the Prey lighter. We got Prey
in the mail today.
As seen in the game. Yeah, your character has a lighter, and certain exalted editors, I guess, got Prey lighters, huh? Only I got one?
I think you did, yeah. So as you walk down the dark corridors of CGW, you can light that
right
thing up.
Conveniently enough, I'm doing the review, too. And we all know that free lighters equals one star extra.
At least.
Uh-huh. It's really a shame we're not doing star scores anymore.
Yeah. If we were and you saw that I gave it 4, you would know really the game was a 3, but the lighter was a 1.
That's so really why we got rid of the score, so we could keep the stuff.
Okay, so what I was saying was this is actually our deadline week, so we're pretty busy. We're trying to put out a magazine right now. We're finishing up the September issue. Is that right?
Yep.
September here in mid July, and you know, so what I'm saying is I want you to appreciate us. Okay, we're doing this for you. All right. So what are you guys playing? What are you playing, Ryan? You're not playing Guild Wars, are you?
I'm not playing Guild Wars right now. I've taken a break from Guild Wars to play an MMO that is actually really good and doesn't get the attention it deserves. It's EVE Online.
Hmm.
And it's sort of it's a sci-fi MMO. Came out of Europe. Most of its player base is European. I think they've got somewhere around 125,000 total players or so.
So not only do you have to play with other people, but you have to play with European people.
Yeah.
That's a double turnoff for me right there.
Wow.
So it's the guy with the French wife.
Are people speaking mostly or typing mostly in English on it, or is it a...
Oh, it's like an English-speaking
So you're not
thing.
Getting like German chat
no.
the whole time?
I think they just put up a server specifically for China,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of the world plays on like this one server.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a pretty hardcore MMO. You know, there's free PvP, you know, anybody can just run up and kill you if you're...
It's all PvP?
Well, if you're... There's certain, like, unsecure areas where you can get killed by other players if you're not careful. And all the economy and everything is player-controlled.
That's the one where you can, like, log off for a month and, like, level up while you're not even playing, right?
Yeah, it has, like, this interesting skill system where...
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, the whole game, you're...
I'd be the most lead player
Sean
there.
Sean falling asleep over there. Wake up, dude.
Like economy, Europeans. Pump up the jam. Pump it up.
We'll get to the shooty bang bang stuff in a minute, Sean.
Well, you play the whole game. It's all in outer space, so you never like set foot on a planet or go out.
Oh, it's all space.
Yeah, so there aren't any orcs and elves in this game.
Are you,
like, Earth, how you survive?
Do you own a spaceship?
But there's like Thargars that are like green skinned aliens with pointy ears, and there's like,
but they're not elves.
Are there any space rats?
No, there's.
They don't like boats and they don't like Thargars.
There's no. All there is like dudes in spaceships, like space pirates and stuff.
Isn't this game the one that gets the bad rap though? For aside from all the sort of in-game society stuff that happens, but for just being essentially calculus with a space screensaver attached to it.
It's not. Well, when you first jump in and you start doing the tutorial, it looks like this really intimidating game.
It looks like wallpaper. I'm telling you.
What does your wallpaper look like, man?
aren't the gods of the economy going to rip you off? Aren't the gods of industry going to make you their peon? And aren't the gods of war going to grind you to Thargar dust?
Pretty much, yeah. That's kind of what.
Well, so what made you want to play this, and are you going to keep playing? Do you actually like it?
I do so far. I mean, yeah. I've only been playing since Friday, so I've been playing for about 3 days now. But it's an interesting game. It's different than.
Would you recommend it to us?
I'd recommend you check it out. I don't know, you guys are all into like the whole WoW thing, so
yeah.
This might be too hardcore for you.
Like all the regular people.
No, but the skill system, like I was gonna say, you have all these skills that you can learn, and what you do is you just set a skill. You can learn one skill at a time, and you set the skill to start learning, and it'll tell you, you know, this skill will take such and such hours to get to the next rank.
Okay.
And it trains in real time, so even if you log off. It's still training. So I'm playing Eve right
now.
That's
so weird. What? Is that with every skill?
Every skill, yeah. And there's like no limit to the number of skills.
So will you just level? I could just come back in 2 years and be level 60?
As long as you're paying that monthly fee.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So is there just no chance you'd ever catch up to like the highest guy in the server then?
Oh, yeah. Whoever logged on first is the highest level.
Well, there's tons of different skills, right? Yeah. You have skills that cover really general things like spaceship piloting, you know, piloting like different types of spacecraft, and then really minute things like how to use individual missiles, like light missiles versus medium missiles. You know, they each have like their own skill. And to get to the highest ranks of a skill, like to go from rank 4 to rank 5, which is the highest in any skill, it'll take, like, I have this one, it's like it will take you 20 days, such and such hours, you know. So it would take me like 20 days to get that one skill to rank 5.
Do you actually have to do anything to get to that rank, or just be alive?
No, you have you
just pay the membership fee.
Exactly, pay a monthly fee.
So you don't have to use the skill.
You just have to wait for the timer to count down.
Sounds like hiring a power leveler, but like they just built it right into the game mechanic.
Well, you can only train one at a time, though. Mm-hmm. So,
It's baffling. When do you actually play the game? Is just when you're logged off?
Well, I mean, you're
I'm leveling right now, and this is great.
It's progress quest.
You log in. You can log in and like do stuff while the skill is training. The skill is just always training, no matter what you're doing.
Okay.
So you can run around. You can mine ore off asteroids.
Mining ore. That's a.
You can go.
Thank God, it's so different from WoW, though.
You can fight like space pirates. Upgrade your ship.
WoW is pirates.
Yeah. Like, does it have space pirates? Do.
But do we have ninjas? No.
No ninjas.
We shouldn't be harsh on this game. You're the only one who played it. Can't say you're making the greatest case for it.
Well, I'm only 3 days
in.
We've
all heard good things about it. We've all heard the bad stuff about it, too, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of get the feeling so far that I might run out of stuff to do. Other than, so far, all I've seen is like...
Well, the great thing is you'll be leveling anyway.
Yeah. Courier missions.
It's a smart way to
mining.
Make people keep their... subscriptions active. It's like, well, if I don't want to play, maybe in a year I'll be so awesome that
I'll want to start.
Yeah.
All the interesting stuff I've read about sounds like it's the player-to-player socialization stuff and creating the fun gameplay. Basically putting hits out on one another,
right?
Getting a mole inside their faction, and then basically making it, pulling off a heist and all that sort of thing.
I heard it was like really merciless getting started. Like, as soon as you come to that, like, that newbie area, you know, pirates just kind of like lying in wait for you to like show up.
Right. That's kind of like any, you know, MMO with PvP, though, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as you get into
But even more so there. It was just like basically people just like kind of like waiting for you to come out, like just peek your head out of that like safe region, then you're dead instantly.
Yeah, I would do that.
I've been avoiding all that stuff for now.
Welcome to PvP.
Pretty much.
Who else has been playing anything different?
Games? What are games? No, actually, my confession, I guess, is this weekend I wanted to play Battle for Middle-earth 2, finally. I had a chance to play it, and do I play it on the PC, or do I play the Xbox 360 version? So I actually
give me a break. That's not even a question,
I actually was curious. I tried it out. I was genuinely curious. Well, it's out of sheer laziness. I got a nice big TV. And a
big TV, you can't see anything. You can't tell what's what. Is that an elf or is that a dwarf? Let's just drag the slow-ass D-pad on it and find out.
Sadly, I could see everything.
Do you have an HD TV?
Moving really? Nice and slow.
Yeah. Moving slow.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it looked okay. I mean, it's obviously not, but I mean, I have a nice big HD TV.
How big is that TV?
Okay. 52 inches.
Okay.
So I actually downloaded the demo. I'm thinking just like to try it out just because I was curious too. And I don't have an HD. It's like 31 inches. And
so you're like squinting?
I couldn't tell what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those cases where you really do need a large TV just so you can see all the, like the menu systems and all the things going
on. That's true more and more for 360 games. It's like I tried Ghost Recon.
Ghost Recon.
I couldn't even
totally
read the goddamn instructions. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do?
That's why you should play on the PC.
It looked like it was EVE Online text coming at me, Xenu speak.
How was the game?
The game, I mean, it's the same game for more or less.
Isn't it like slow ass gameplay, like clicking on everything with your cursor?
Well, they do create shortcuts, and you can control. You can like amp up the cursor speed. So I mean, it's not like you're totally hosed. I mean, it does do a decent job of replacing the keyboard and mouse.
Yeah,
but at the same point, I'm just so born and bred for it. Like I'm used to the hotkeys. I'm used to being able to draw and drag a box around.
I just can't even imagine really playing a game of that style and that speed.
You know what?
In that setting, like on a TV on the couch, that seems way more just sort of like a desk keyboard.
It's totally like a Quasimodo type game where you get all up in there and like, oh, I need to generate 14 more ogre. Whatever. Gorgeous. Another foundry.
But you need to do that at your desk.
Yeah, you know? Do. That's what I'm saying. You know, like all hunched up in there.
Right.
You got your like face.
Right. Not with
the
a beer
monitor.
And your wife or girlfriend hanging around.
Yeah, the thing,
boom microphone.
The thing I was remembering, though, is that, you know, it's not like this is the first time this has happened. I mean, everyone back like 5 or 6 years ago, they tried bringing Command & Conquer and StarCraft to the N64.
Right.
And I mean, That was a much less.
Right, StarCraft 64. I remember that. Yeah.
I mean, those were decent efforts for what they're trying to do. But I mean, I think the significant thing here is that this really is really. It looks really close to what the PC version was. Obviously, not as high res, but it controls okay. But yeah, ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm kind of siding with Sean.
It's like playing
on this.
Like a fighting game. I mean, it's playing Soul Calibur with the keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
You know, it's just like.
Right. Certain games
you
are made
make
for
it
certain
happen,
experiences.
But it's still not right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm willing to bet they're just looking to maximize profit. Like, you know, because you know Command & Conquer 3 is going to come along and they're going to say, maybe we can bring this over to the 360 as well.
Right. It's probably a test run for that, right?
Totally. Yeah, they'll want to do that.
Well, that'd be smart of them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
I always wonder if
just bring us
if
more.
Knowing that
give
ahead of time would
two.
Inform the design in such a way that, like, you're going to get the capped PC version.
Yeah.
That's always scary.
Like, I would like to play Army of Two on, we're kind of getting ahead to the EA thing, but they didn't show that, but that's one of their console games, but it's all co-op, and that would be a great game to play on PC. The controls would work, it'd be a blast playing.
Because apparently the Commandos of the future were
hockey
masks.
That's a trade. I'll let them put Command & Conquer on the 360 if they give us the other.
Okay. Deal.
All right.
Done.
You speak for EA now?
Yeah. I'll do that for you, Sean.
Okay.
So what is the Sean Brigade over there playing?
I've played a bit of Prey.
Started it again. Got the box copy today. Playing some of that.
It's beyond the demo.
I like it a lot. And I like the free lighter. No, I finished the game last night. I really liked it a lot. I'm kind of not understanding the mediocre reviews of that game. I don't get
really?
It. I was like, what do you
I'm
want?
I'm still waiting to see the gusto. I don't know. Like, it's already feeling like the fact that I've only been playing it an hour and I called, you know, we were talking about when you come to a stop, you know, it's either time to spirit walk or look for the switch on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, I'm already saying that and I've only played it for an hour. And it's not reassuring when you're telling me that's the same the whole game.
Well, yeah, it kind of is. But they do subtle variations on it. And I just like all the gravity stuff. I mean, I like, you know, it really reminds me in a good way of Descent back in the day. I don't recall playing a shooter like this in a long, long time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well. And I guess the thing is, like, people are saying, okay, yeah, it's no Half-Life 2 Episode 1 or whatever. I'm like, you know what? There weren't many puzzles in Episode 1, and the ones that were there were just about as rudimentary, using the same
Well, I'm not comparing it to one. Well, that's kind of an odd.
Well, I'm not saying you. But I'm saying some people out there are saying.
I think that this game holds up to Half-Life 2. Frankly,
you're kidding me. No, there's no way. Then I'm in for a real treat. Then,
but I like trying to figure out the weird gravity puzzle level, like finding the answer to those. It's not
too.
Just a switch and turning
right.
it over. They
but,
get
I mean,
more.
The whole thing is in this environment that looks like, you know, sphincters and stuff the whole time, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because, I mean, well, Half-Life 2, you've got the coast level. You've got, next thing, you're in a Nova Prospect. I'm going through these out of order. But then you're in Haunted Houseland in Ravenholm. Then you're in an alien citadel. You're
there's
in a
nowhere near
city. There's
the
all
variety
this awesome
of,
variety that
right.
you're getting.
There's no the graphic, you know, it looks just like Quake 4 and Doom 3.
Yeah, the whole way through.
I admit
that's,
that.
That's
yes.
part of the... And the enemies aren't getting any more intelligent, right?
The enemies look and play one. Just like
I had,
Doom and
I had
anecdote.
I had one experience where they actually seemed pretty intelligent from the situation for me. But again, I'm just a retard.
Yeah, I was just in comparison to you.
This guy's smart. Fired back at me.
He shot at me, and I ran away.
When I shot him, he grabbed his leg right where I shot him.
Well, no, actually, in this one situation, I forget which creature it was, but we're having a shootout, and there's a health station nearby, and he's hurt, and he knows where it is. He has presence of mind in the room, so he runs there, and he gets the health, reheals, you know.
What if it was just accidentally jerking out, though? Did it repeat? That's the key, if it's repeatable. Because he could have been just like, he's programmed it like strafe left, strafe right, strafe left,
no,
right.
No, he actually,
regardless of what you're doing, and he accidentally ran over that thing. And
no,
you,
he actually went out of his way
you
backwards
it, you're
and
like,
around.
Dude, that was math. Did you see that? Did you see that? I'm no, just giving you a hard time.
No. He actually went.
I
back
totally
and
believe it.
Yeah, but to Sean's point though, I mean, I only saw that once or twice. I didn't exactly see it like every single time. It was with a specific creature, so maybe like they jacked up the intelligence for it. I don't know.
Yeah, there are certain things that Half-Life 2 has way over a game like this. Yeah.
Did you find it difficult at all? Because one of the issues that I'm still struggling with, whether I like it or not, is the death mechanic. Because you get killed, you kind of go to the spirit world where you're allowed to freely shoot the health power-ups, basically. That
right.
Your health, and then you go right back to where you were.
It's like a spiritual duck hunt.
I like it.
It is.
A spiritual what?
I expect a little
spiritual duck hunt.
I expect a little hound to come up and go,
yeah, it kind of is. Except you got the Native American, you know.
On the good side, though, like you were saying right on our way down here, is like you don't have to deal with the loading screen.
Yeah, there's no end game reload.
The only thing that could on balance, though, is as you're playing it, you know, you've damaged some like a boss guy who kills you.
Yeah.
And you come back, you're rehealed, and then he's still damaged. So
right. It's kind of like infinite quarters.
Exactly. It's like infinite quarters. Yeah. I mean, you basically can't not kill the boss.
But if,
no matter how bad you suck, eventually you're just going to wear him down. Because you'll just keep going to the spirit world and coming back, and he'll be down one more notch.
It kind of feels like cheating to me. And I guess, I'm the kind of person who quick saves as much as possible anyway, so I'm not sure if...
Well, you know, that's
cheating too.
Well, yeah. I guess the same kind of thing,
some
but
people
it kind of keeps you in the game the whole time.
We need an IMDb-style database for games where we track bloopers and stuff, because I'm wondering how Papa, who teaches you the ancient secret, can't pull it off himself. Why didn't he come back?
Because he didn't have the glow, man.
Anyway, you got to stay to the end.
Oh, Papa does pull it off.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe he does. I'm not
sure. It'll be revealed.
Stay tuned. No spoilers here.
I've been playing also Team Fortress Classic this past week.
Yeah.
In light of what we'll talk about next, but I wanted to fire it up and...
Did it hold up?
Relive the memories. You know, it's always fun. It's like, I know that game so well. I played it so long. It's like, it never surprises me. But looking at it now, saying, okay, here, it's coming. You know, it's coming back, as we found out at the EA event. And that was the big hype for me there, that the thing is actually real, that the sequel is actually real. But just there's a little, problems where everyone's got, two grenade varieties in the game. It was part of the signature to the thing, and then they're specific to each class. But because of it, that's a whole lot of grenades to just be thrown out randomly. And so if there's, classic map would be two forts, basically two bases connected by a drawbridge. And there's one alternate route underneath the water through a tunnel. But basically everyone just goes out, throws all their grenades onto the bridge, and anyone trying to play offense just gets blown up without being able to do anything about it. Same thing when one of them finally gets over that bridge, gets in your base with 40% health. Again, he's faced with sentry guns, full health defenders, and everyone just throws their grenades, and if friendly fires off, which it almost always is, they're going to get blown up in the splash damage. So my worry was how they're going to address that, because it's been Team Fortress Classic's always been, you know, at least in my experience playing with clans and stuff, very heavily weighted for defense. It's really easy, even with just two good soldiers, to defend almost any map, whereas an offense takes, you know, a lot of concerted effort on the other. So I'm kind of hoping they do something about that. But otherwise, it's still so much fun because each class is, like, wildly different from the next. And that, far more so than games like Battlefield or Call of Duty or something like that, where you're basically just choosing a different gun. And again, that's part of the secondary grenade, so it's kind of tricky how they work that out, because you want to keep them because they distinguish your class, but at the same time, a little too much of it causes problems.
Yeah, it seems like, wasn't that one of the first shooters to do that with the multiple classes and having a really distinct difference between them?
It was definitely one of them, if not the first. Aaron, you got the...
I think so. I mean, I'll have to consult Wikipedia or something.
They're still like, I mean, and the raddest part about that is that they're completely unique. The stuff you can do with the medics, you know, a lot of the trick grenade jumps, the way that the sentry guns work for the engineers, and how it's just always this challenge of finding the most opportune place to put it, and one that's going to be safe because basically the enemy's using a nail gun to take it out and sneak up on air grenades and stuff, and messing around with the maps and finding like the right place to be doing what you want. If you're a spy, getting on the enemy battlements, although mm-hmm. now everyone that's played knows to look for it, but you get up there, feign like you're an enemy sniper, and then you play dead, and then because usually that area is totally covered with corpses of snipers, so they go out and snipe, you just pop up behind them, stab mm-hmm. in the back, and then go down somewhere else. But all that stuff is really cool. And what was nice to see about, if you haven't seen the image that's up on Steam of the new classes, is that they went with this whole new art style for it. And I think mm-hmm. it's great. I mean, that's going to be one of the big... I don't know. It's not even such a debate as much as I expected it to be. But basically, there's like one or two people out there in internet land that say, well, I wanted the muddy green and brown one that they showed back when at E3, you know, 2002 or whenever it was.
Probably before that, even.
Yeah, probably was. But when you look at it now, the game, since they decided rather than, you know, some speculation said that they were going to do a version of it that took place in Half-Life 2 continuity, basically in what's called the 7-Hour War. And since they didn't decide to do that, I think it's an excellent decision to do what they go with the route that they're going. Because when you look at the art in that game, it's either, I mean, well, when you look at the gameplay itself, it's just ludicrous. It's two teams in these tiny forts going to cap each other's flags. And if you try to put like a realistic veneer over that, it's just going to emphasize how little sense it makes. It's ultimately a game world, so they have a very gamey looking mm-hmm.
almost
cool style
to it. It almost looks like people like the animated action figures.
Yeah, they do. They look like mm-hmm. like vinyl action figures, kind of, mm-hmm. but with a really neat style to them.
It's the same art style that I saw they tried to use in Evil Genius back in the day.
It's definitely like they stole from Evil Genius. Yeah, I would say.
Oh, that's interesting.
They also look like they're, because of the very stylized look, that you're going to be able to tell people apart at a glance really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's even better. I mean, instead of
you
just
always
looking
could,
for like the...
You always could in Team Fortress Classic, especially after the second batch of character models that they mm-hmm. released. But you can. I mean, they're even more iconic than before. I mean, the scout's a skinny little guy with his socks pulled up over his shins and
Ryan. Everybody looks at Ryan.
Jeff, Ryan.
One day he's just going to kill us all.
The other thing about that art style that's neat is that we have so many shooters and they all look either of the shiny metallic, you know, Space Aliens, Quake and Prey style, or the Battlefield Ghost Recon military style thing. And this definitely gives it, it's distinct. Mm-hmm. And then even like Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat on Source, you know, a lot of Source games are starting to look really similar. You start recognizing assets that get reused. And so I think it's a great idea. Just something entirely fresh.
All right.
Yeah. So, okay. So why don't we officially shift into, we started talking about that. So that was EA's big announce. I guess that was a big one, but you guys spent all day Thursday at EA's Summer Showcase. So they went through their whole big lineup and Team Fortress 2 was the big announcement, but were there other good ones that came out of that show or?
Nope.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
Hit it.
Yes.
Talk about portals.
Portal.
It's so, another word for sphincter.
All right. So everyone's always been talking about the portals being used in Prey lately, and it's kind of cool. You walk through one, and it sends you to another whole part of the ship or whatever, and messes with your whole sense of reality.
The thing is, can I just pause for 1 second?
Yep. Somebody, can I say this one?
Somebody on the message board said how, or somewhere said, how is a portal any different than just a door? you know.
It's a portal to enhance pleasure.
Okay.
And yeah.
Because you're just going into, it's just linear.
It's
anyway.
A sphincter to.
Well, I don't know. It is warping around in space-time.
I guess.
The difference in this game is that a door is basically a passageway where you'd expect it. And the portal is something that doesn't make sense. Instead of walking
through,
you end up in another, you know, dropping in another Escher-esque angle.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Sure. All right. Anyway, so the whole idea here is basically instead of walking through the doors, portals, that the...
They're magic. It's a door with magic.
A Doctor Strange door, if you will. So as you walk through it, I mean... Geez,
no, magic with the K from the X-Men.
All right, you're killing me here.
Darren, tell us about portals.
Fine.
Why can't you tell us?
God's sakes. So the idea is, in Portal, you actually create the portal. So you set the start point and the end point. So you can, like, you could drop a portal underneath a machine gun turret and then put it in the ceiling above. You can create this infinite loop of this, the machine gun just falling through the ceiling.
That's kind of like a subtle knife. Did any of you guys read the Philip Pullman books? You know what I'm talking about?
His Dark Materials or whatever?
The Subtle Knife was the second book, and in that book you could like cut a hole in the, you know, in the universe and then like step through it into another.
Spontaneous slipgate generation?
Yeah. Dude. I didn't know you knew the lingo.
Oh, I guess you read it too.
I'm going to say regular doors cannot do what Darren just described. So
correct. Yeah, I think you're right. Okay.
So that's the basic premise for the game. It's kind of like a Lost Coast kind of like add-on into...
The premise is what, to show off the technology?
It's to show off the technology, exactly. But you can also, it's like a puzzle-solving game was what it seems like. Basically, it's like you have to get through, you get to certain points in each area, and you do that by manipulating your portal
I heard
gun.
A few other examples from someone who I can't name who had actually got to test this technology. It turned out more than a year and a half ago. And one example he gave, he actually tried it, had no idea what it was for. And
why can't you name him?
Because he's in our building. And it wasn't an NDA, but it was... Never mind. Anyway,
let's not go there.
So an example would be, you know, there's this ball of energy going around. You're immediately thinking of the orbs in Half-Life 2. But and basically what you need to do is you need to fit it into some place. So as it's passing around like a pinball, you throw up a portal that's an entry place for it, or you get the exit first. So you basically set up, you know, a path or a conduit for it so that it, say it's passing by, you, it enters the portal, and then it goes out the other direction, but up in the sky somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then fits into some other place. Hmm. And then you need to get yourself up there once that door opens. But it sounds like a kind of like, you know, consoles, Metal Gear's got the VR missions bonus things where they kind of like take the fundamental gameplay and they just like boil it down to. So it seems kind of like that.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
It feels like a VR
separate
missions.
Standalone game.
It's a separate standalone game that's going to ship with Half-Life Episode 2.
Nice.
That's a lot of
Team Fortress 2. I mean, like Team Fortress 2 is going to come in.
So
in
all of a sudden, Valve's like, you know, they're pretty busy. Mm-hmm. They're working hard now. They were kind of radio silent there for a while. Now they're just...
and so actually something kind of crazy that a lot of people aren't really kind of touching upon as much is that they've worked out the Source engine so that they can co-develop and like basically create the same... So that they can have a game simultaneously released on three platforms if they need to. So by the time Half-Life Episode 2 comes out, it's going to be out on the 360, possibly the PS3 as well.
Not the Wii.
Wii.
That's not going to work.
No.
It's just...
The gravity gun would be awesome with that controller.
How fun would that be?
They already make it. It's called Elebits or something. And all it is basically, imagine if you had a gravity gun demo, but all you could do is point the gun around and pick stuff up.
Well, what the hell do you do different in Half-Life 2? That's all you
Yeah, but you can't throw it. There's no... The objective is just to pick stuff up. Find little elebits.
Oh. Oh, and by the way, actually, there's one thing during his speech, Gabe was talking about this one bit of freeware that's out right now called Narbicular Drop or something like that. Basically, he referenced this bit of freeware. It's a game
that's
all about
L.
portals.
Ron Hubbard stuff
no,
right there.
No, it is. No, yeah. It's a really goofy name. It's a really goofy game with like princesses and dragons and stuff, but you actually create these portals, and it's using the same kind of idea and technology. Mm-hmm. And it's
Narbicular.
Yeah.
Have there been any good L. Ron Hubbard video games?
Oh, I'm sure they made a version of
have they made
Battlefield Earth, you think?
Good.
Yeah.
Really isn't really good.
Like, did it open your eyes?
Why don't they have where you turn your Nintendo DS into whatever they call that
a clay
spiritual
table?
Reader is? No. They're a little
the e-meter?
They're e-meter.
Who's the dude that you meet? Who's the big dude?
Around
Zenu.
Oh, Zenu. Yeah, he's the big
Zenu and John Travolta. Yeah.
So would he be? Is he like the second? He'd be the final boss.
He sits at the right hand.
He's like level 50. He'll
no,
like,
well, you'd have to worship him. Like you have to worship him like enough to solve it. You don't fight with him.
Ryan shaking his head. Ryan's imagining all the
we're all gonna if we all disappeared next week. Yeah, there's nowhere we went.
Yeah, Tom Cruise got to us.
We went to kill them all. We're up in heaven with Zeno.
What's your crime?
Zeno's bad though.
So where were we?
We were talking about the EA thing. Was there other good stuff?
No.
They showed basically a CG for the White Council, which is the Lord of the Rings RPG, also coming to PC, set prior to the films and the novels.
80 Whoa. Years.
Oh.
So
an RPG?
It's an action RPG. They kind of they're trying to like make it out like it's a really high res Diablo kind of thing.
Well, the CG they showed was just amazing.
It's a target
and they were
video.
Like, you know, this is our target video, and we have every reason to believe it will look exactly like this, and we have no reason whatsoever to believe it's going to look anything like that.
Why so skeptical?
You always open
because
yourself
it looked too
trouble.
Good. It was like
well, you know, they showed us was CG.
In all like, fairness, though, like I remember like a year ago when they showed off Fight Night Round 3. And they're like, it's going to look just like this. And everyone's like, yeah, right, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it came out, and on the 360, it looked just like they said.
I think that was one of the few things when they showed for PS3. They're like, okay, that one we believe.
Yeah. That okay.
But I'm talking, saying, this was like Killzone stuff. If you remember the Electronic Entertainment Expo we're talking about, it was 2005. And for one of the PS3 demos, they showed computer-generated footage that they passed off as real time for the system. And it was kind of like that. It's just your gut says this. An action RPG is not going to look like this. Right. I mean, like, it wasn't like... It was like Pixar maybe 4 years ago or something.
Okay.
What they showed was of that quality.
Yeah. What's the game called again?
The White Council. Lord of the Rings, The White Council.
The White Council.
Formerly known as Project Grey Company. Hmm. You know what?
Other than that...
Prove us wrong. I mean, so I went from Grey to White.
A lot of this EA, what they call it, Studio Showcase, it seemed like... You know, they're redheaded stepchildren that they wanted to get attention for. So it's like they could draw a captive audience, get people from around the world, you know, international press there, and say, you know, hey, there's this big event. It's going to be worth your time. And you get there, and it's like there is hands-on on their sports games, you know, which is great if you're into sports.
Madden 07, you're not a big fan?
But, I mean, just saying, I mean, that's never – it never is as exciting as, you know, something else.
Superman Returns.
And then Superman Returns, which is just, like, shamefully bad. And then – The Godfather 360, which is, you know, you've already played it, but look, here's some high-res textures of crap geometry.
What the hell were you saying about the gameplay and stuff, Superman, before we came on about...
Think about the city having a health bar instead of Superman.
Yeah, Superman has no life bar. The city has a life bar.
Bizarro.
Well, Superman is invincible, so that's all a tough gameplay mechanic.
Boop. So if the city dies, you die.
Yeah,
the game's
if you
over.
Don't save the city, then...
But I walked up and he was the guy was playing and he was Bizarro. Who's like the evil Superman. He's like Superman, but purple, so he's evil. But anyway,
talks funny.
All the citizens were running around frightened, and then the Bizarro guy just kind of lets the controller idle, and then a couple of the citizens like got up on his back and did their cowering animation like halfway in him and on him. And I was like, I've had enough.
Poor guys.
Turned around and took a look at the Sims 2 pets.
Also, you know, should the Superman game have been out already?
It should have.
They were gonna. Try they to were do gonna. It but time they, with the movie, but
yeah,
I guess.
But that's a legacy.
Has delayed it till the DVD or something like that.
This is a legacy.
Sounds like.
I mean, you can't. What's a good Superman game?
Pretty much every Superman game that's ever been released for any platform has been the worst game of its respective generation.
Also, I mean, how could it be late? This movie's been in development for like 10 years.
Well, it has nothing to do with that. With the. He's fighting space dragons and Final Fantasy like Bahamut guys and stuff. Or you say it. Seriously, you see it? And then Bizarro, he's throwing like Bob's Big Boy signs at people.
Really?
Screw that game. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Is it even coming out on PC?
No, I don't think
okay,
it is.
Okay, so we're wasting even more time.
Yeah, we're trying to change
a
subjects.
A crappy
just
Superman game that's
pretend,
not even on
it
PC.
Didn't happen.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Talking about I think it's time for news.
Okay. Is it time for news? Okay, we're going to go on to Darren's news bits.
We need a theme song for you.
Yeah, it needs its own theme.
You got to read it in a nerd voice.
Yeah, someone do the teletype.
Today
in video gaming news, for your Delling dose of gaming goodness.
No, don't do that. No.
Okay, so first up, this happened late last week. Mark Rain at the Develop conference in Brighton slammed Episodic Gaming.
Ah, yeah, Mark Rain. Tell the folks who Mark Rain is.
Mark Rain, VP of Epic Games, who is never soft-spoken, always has an opinion. I love the guy. Mm-hmm. Here's what he says. I've heard a lot of insane talk about episodic content. Very little of it makes any actual sense. It's a broken business. And then he goes on to say, customers are supposed to buy half a game for $20, then wait 6 months for an episode. When I put a game down, I want to try a new one. Episodic games that offer faster turnaround will inevitably be using a lot of recycled content, walking through the same environments, and shooting the same enemies with the same weapons.
He pretty much sharted on it. Damn.
But how do you really feel?
Yeah. Well, he kind of did.
He's got some valid. I mean, basically, he's reiterating what all of our fears are in the worst case scenario.
Absolutely.
You're getting the same old crap if it's coming rapidly, and otherwise the wait seems so long that you're thinking, well, why not just give us another full game? And those are valid.
Those are absolutely valid. The only thing that was kind of running through my head is, can't the same thing be said for full games that aren't episodic, that recycle content and have the same weapons and, you know, very little new imaginative stuff?
Your expansion packs and stuff, you mean?
And then you're waiting for expansion packs to come out, and there's your episodic content. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, can any of us defend against what he said there?
No, we have to see what happens. It's still early enough. I mean, like, no one's actually figured out the right pricing model.
We haven't ever seen the second episode of anything yet.
Exactly.
So in a way, that's the only real criticism of what he did, was a sort of like, you know, kind of ranting kind of prematurely there. Mm. It's a little bit of an old man get off my lawn thing, isn't it? You know?
It's episodic gaming.
Well, I mean,
back in my day, we had full games.
I mean, there's a lot of companies now that are taking, is going to start taking some big gambles with it. You know, Valve, obviously, and Telltale's banking their whole business on episodic gaming.
And don't we feel like so far that Valve did it kind of well? I mean, I liked episode one.
I enjoyed it.
It's got the reuse stuff that he's complaining about, but what we've seen of the next one looks like it's going to introduce a lot of new stuff.
Right.
But then you're waiting more than 6 months for it, aren't you? I mean, how long?
It'll be about six months.
It will be? Okay. Sure.
And that's better than, I mean, traditionally, what's Valve been between full sequels, you know?
Years.
Half
a decade or whatever.
I'd say expansions, but it's kind of like you have to count their own stuff, not something that they farmed out, you know?
Yeah. Hey, what else you got on the news ticker there?
All right.
Scoop.
I'll your little hat.
Next up, whatever anti-terrorist action happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Okay, according to Las Vegas TV station at KLAS TV, Mayor Oscar Goldman and other Vegas officials plan to fight the release of Rainbow Six Vegas.
What, they're afraid it's going to give Vegas a bad name?
Exactly.
This is that place I saw in the video game.
There's crimes there.
they plan to fight the release by, Goodman says that Rainbow Six Vegas is based on a false premise and that the game, quote, could be harmful economically, and it may be something that's not entitled to free speech protection.
Oh,
what's the
right
premise of the game? That's what? So
I mean, basically,
it's a town
where you can get drunk at the roulette table, meet a hooker, and then and then go up to your room, and a game based upon fighting terrorists is offensive.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with a mob guy for a mayor. But
a bunch of little old ladies are going to play this game and stop dropping their quarters into the machine.
That's nuts.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I didn't even...
That's all you can really say.
I'm just aghast at that. I didn't even know they cared about their reputation there. I thought they're cultivating the reputation that, like, you know, this is Babylon, you know?
Yeah, anything goes.
These are the end times.
San Francisco Rush. City of San Francisco sued Atari on that one?
Because they weren't in a rush?
Well, they just said it's not representative of the driving style out here. It's not right.
He's not joking.
Crummy joke. But yeah, you get the deal. I mean, you could say that about all the cities that have New York in it and this and that. It's like,
right.
Or books. Like,
and any city to protest.
Don't
Las
write
Vegas?
A bad poem about Las Vegas.
I know. It sounds like just video games are evil bandwagoning.
Yeah.
So let's hop on board.
Their whole city is evil. I mean, I like it.
They brag about it.
Their city is San Andreas.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't get that at all.
Well, that was a good news bit. We'll have to follow up with that.
We should invite
the mayor of Las Vegas onto the podcast.
That would be nice.
Next time I go to Vegas, I'll look him up for
you. Use your old man voice.
You kids, stop playing games in my town.
Okay. What else there?
All right. Okay. Apparently, Hungary is full of space pricks.
That's all you need to say.
Hungary is full of space bricks. Well, like, we didn't know that.
Okay,
what does that mean?
Look at Ryan's face.
doesn't like that.
Okay. Yeah. So this is from GamePolitics.com. I'll just read it for starting off here. Kill any non-Romanian alien prick in cold blood. That's the goal of a mission in Romanians in Space, a game being developed for the PC. Yes, PC gaming isn't dead, folks. It's being developed by a 21-year-old programmer from Romania. So let me see. The game's alien pricks are not entirely of the outer space variety. They include ethnic Hungarians living in Romania. As the plot of Romanians in Space explains, the remainder of former... Basically, this is a far-flung future where apparently Romania now conquers the world and is in space and stuff.
Sounds like
why does he say kill any non-Romanian alien prick? I mean, what aliens out there are Romanian?
Apparently, a whole lot of them. They get around. They get their freak on in space.
It's a double entendre with the word alien. It is.
It truly is. There's lots of double entendres. Mm. They form some sort of quadruple entendre.
Okay, so anyway, apparently, it's just meant as a joke.
It sounds like it should be a Flash game.
Yeah.
Like Torture Osama and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I checked out the screenshots. I mean, it looks like, you know, looks like it could be like freeware or something you'd pay like, you know, $10 for or something. But it's not like that big. I mean, it's, I think he's just kind of, he might even be just generating the buzz, the hype.
What do you think? It's like, it's going to get all this news, just like you'll see a news report about, you know, here's this game where you murder immigrants, you know, because we have like a legal catcher and stuff that have popped up on, but they're kind of missing the whole thing. It's like these are coming out of people's like garages and anonymously, and then not. I mean, I'm not saying they're right or they're moral, but there's part of that whole that milieu of like just extreme internet, you know, just trying to be offensive, trying to be
South Park, basically.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a single person expressing himself through game design in this case, rather than like
just being stupid.
The game industry,
like Escape from Neverland, was another good flash.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a real good one.
It's not really good. I'm just sitting here reading that summary of this game. It's what the hell? Ceausescu has taken over the United States and then the Earth.
Then the Earth.
You got some like who's the guy making this game? He needs some help.
It's an angry Romanian. So he's got some Hungarian Romanian next door neighbors.
Alexandru Duda,
cutting line in front of him.
We're sending you out a lifeline right now.
He needs a therapist rather than making a game.
He needs a hug.
Okay, right. So keep a lookout for Romanians in Space.
The demo is
coming
available
soon to
right
your
now.
PC.
Sounds like the first must-play game of the year.
That's right. That's the game that changes everything, from what I hear. From
I've always wanted to kill non-Romanian aliens before.
Now's your chance.
Because there are so many Romanian aliens in space. I just
most of them in Prey were probably Romanian.
Romanian aliens.
Okay. Do you got anything else there?
Well,
Hound?
Well, you know what? For the sake of time, should we probably just skip ahead to?
How are we doing on time?
Yeah,
there?
We're already at over like 40 minutes.
Really? Well, you know, minutes. The people like the long podcasts.
They do. Okay.
I've spoken to the people, and that's what they've told me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, see if we continue next time, I guess.
Okay, so more news coming
more
next
news?
Time.
More news? Tell them. Let's tell them.
Oh, tell them now?
Some kid, Bobby, pre-ordered a video game today.
Oh, no way.
That's
really?
The news. All right, yeah, move
thank
on.
You.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what game or what
that was Sean's
what.
News.
There's an update.
That's why Darren does the news.
It's all Bobby teenager.
Sean's news. I have clean shoes on today.
Okay, so we got a lot of reader mail. We actually always do. Usually we just ignore it. But we're gonna pay attention because we care, because we love you. So we're going to go over a few that came up on the message boards this week. I'm going to read... I'll read the one about physics, huh? Because that was a good one.
Yep.
From our pal Druze3, or is it Druz? I'm assuming
no,
it's
Druze. He's a Druze.
Druze on our on the message board, and I'll read this verbatim. Why isn't anyone taking a dump on PhysX when clearly it's an overpriced piece of shit? And then he adds
this
as an
is the
aside,
best part.
I know poop being dumped on top of shit is redundant. Shut up. which is a good point. But why aren't we dumping on this overpriced piece of shit? that's a damn good question.
Jared has had more experience.
Well, actually, we dump upon that piece of particular shit in the what was the issue we reviewed that in the July issue?
Yeah?
Yeah.
We didn't dump on it, did we?
Well, we kind of did. Yeah, we said that it's way...
Well, it's just... Well, there's no software for it.
That's the problem. And the, right. Well, the thing is, there's only one game that even kind of supports it right now, and it's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. And
that's not a game that's really...
It's not built from the beginning optimized for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's how much of it's going to take advantage of, you know?
Well, I mean, like, you see more you see a couple more particles in the environment and stuff like that, you know, and big deal. Mm-hmm. But actually, the funny thing, well, the sad thing, I guess I should say, is that the drivers were so unoptimized that when you started playing it with, and it would see your AGA card, the game would actually slow down further. Mm-hmm. So basically, the AGA card was actually making your game worse.
That sounds awesome.
Awesome.
And only, for how much money could you spend to make your game look worse?
A mere $300 to turn your game into
awesome.
A slideshow.
$300?
Yeah.
Awesome.
But you know, the thing is, it's early technology, and I think they off to a really rough start.
Well, it's like the first video card, the first graphics card.
Exactly,
you know? I mean,
exactly.
At some point, it was like, it was a joke. What is this? We don't need it.
Right. Somebody's got
to
pave the way.
It's not to say that a dedicated physics card is never going to happen in the future.
Well, do they advertise in our magazine?
I don't think so.
No. Okay, good.
Okay, fantastic.
Otherwise, I'd say you guys are wrong.
It's the software. It's like, where's the...
Well, no, I think, like, there was one game in particular that was the only one I've seen that actually was built with this physics technology in mind, Cell Factor, and it's still really early on, but that game actually shows a lot of promise, and... That's the thing.
I can't even get interested. Why would I want a physics card? I got enough cards in my machine.
Yeah. Well, I think there's
a card for
theoretically,
everything.
It could be amazing for you. The number of things you could do with gameplay instead of having your CPU chug when you're Half-Life and you throw a grenade at a rack and like more than the threshold
I
of
guess.
Objects
just
goes
put
flying.
All the cards in one. A physics card, a graphics card, a sound card. Mm. I mean, just...
Well, I mean, well, think about it this way. A lot of people, they don't even...
I have to buy an engine, a transmission, tires. Why don't they make one thing
well,
that's
don't
got
buy
an engine with the tire on it and a transmission?
No,
what's
no
they,
brakes.
What's
I
they
don't
call
the
a
brakes.
Car? Yeah. I don't have to buy them all separate.
Can't the brakes be optional?
Well, you could buy. I'm sure if
what,
it becomes,
do you build your cars?
If it becomes popular enough, you'll be able to order a PC that's got
that's what
that
I want.
Among
I don't want to have to buy
but
my,
it's just, it's really
my transmission
software.
I think well, Dell's offering it up in their new computers in the XPS 700s, and they are. I mean, I think ultimately what they're trying to work toward is getting it on the motherboard or some kind of like you know close to the core. So you don't even think about it. Like you buy the
that's
system and it's
saying.
There.
Yeah, it's one of those. If the support isn't there, it's
right.
Gonna fail
I'm
things,
surprised. So. Like games like Crysis of any game would totally be able to use it. Like that would be an example.
Yeah.
So instead of just having a couple explodable barrels and boxes move, you'd have like every leaf pretty much is moving. And not only just, you know, textures moving around, but actual geometry that's moving and interacting. And that, theoretically, the card would help it.
Or imagine,
run a lot.
Kind of thing. Imagine you're doing multiplayer and you're trying to like crawl through like the grass or something. You're trying to like, you know, not be seen. And you get up or you crawl, you go too fast, and all these other blades of grass around you start moving. It gives away your
that's
position.
That'll be troubling, though, to sync up that many. Like, that's already one thing where with Crysis multiplayer, you know how there's such a big deal about all the trees and stuff are breakable. But once you've got 30 people on the server, you start trying to match up how every leaf is moving
right,
and every
right.
tree's falling.
And then you have
it's
to assume that everyone
work,
has a physics
you know?
Card. And
so you just
like that.
Do, yeah.
And if you're building a game with physics in mind and there's a bunch of people who don't have it, suddenly their machines are going to just not be able to run it because that's not stuff you can just turn off if you don't want to
no.
use it.
Oh, no, actually,
to make it any good,
there are switches.
Yeah. It's just the transition period's always going to be balls because it's like to do anything good with it, you have to make something where that's the only... You have to have it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You need a Tomb Raider. You need a Quake.
Yeah, basically. Otherwise, like it's like Ghost Recon. If you can run it with or without it, there's never going to be that big of a disparity between it to show off what it can do.
Did you say it was going to be balls?
Yeah. Yeah, you and Ryan. Ryan looks so upset by that. Look at him.
Sweaty balls, Ryan.
That's bad, right? If something it. Looks like balls.
Well, it's not
I just
good.
Just want to be hip with the lingo.
That's balls. Oh boy, it's bad.
You never.
Oh
you
yeah.
Know.
It's greasy balls. Like it's ass. That's butt. That's what I'm saying. There.
Can you? But Busted. How do you rank those things? Ass,
butt.
Right, that's okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Let's not go off on that.
They're all doors in prey.
And they're all one way. Wait, what was your theory earlier about the smart sphincters?
It wasn't mine. I just wanted to give, when we were talking about prey, I forgot. I was going to give a shout out to the guys at somethingawful.com. And they had this awesome review of the demo. And they just pointed out that you can measure... any species sort of like level of technological advancement by how efficiently it uses an energy source. And then anyway that it's well known that a sphincter is the most efficient means of opening and closing something. And like a real human sphincter that can differentiate between a fart and a turd, the sphincter doors in prey can tell.
I'm sorry, Mom.
No, they can tell when Tommy should go through and when not to let him through. And they do that.
Yeah, right.
And it's otherwise inexplicable, but this guy figured it out. And
Ryan just has his head in his hand.
Tommy.
This is not the week I can have my mom check
this
out
is
our
why
podcast.
We are
much love to those guys.
Yeah, this is why we stop at 40 minutes.
Tommy, stop it.
Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. Well, let's try to keep a couple, do a couple more of these, and let's keep it clean.
Uno más.
Good luck.
The nuclear dawn.
Nuclear.
Nuclear. Nuclear dawn. From Charizard, laughter kills me. Bulbasaur. Let me just clarify here. His quote unquote real name is Charizard Bulbasaur, but his nickname in quotes is Laughter Kills Me. So,
by the way, if that is your real name, that is the coolest name ever. I'm yeah. Maybe my kid that.
That would be a great name, you know? When do you want to hear that read off in class?
Mr. and Mrs. Bulbasaur.
Yeah. Bulbasaur, Charizard pieces. Bulbasaur. Yeah. Okay, anyway, he asks about Nuclear Dawn. Is Nuclear Dawn a fake? I was pretty excited for this game, but I have seen a lot of comments by people formerly working on the game on different forums supporting this conclusion.
And I'll answer that to the best of my ability, since I wrote our last story, our only story on Nuclear Dawn.
Well, for the home audience, what is Nuclear Dawn?
Basically, it's a mod coming out for the Source engine, and it looks fantastic, especially by mod. I mean, it looks good by non-mod standards. So it's a great-looking game. It's kind of similar, at least in design, to Natural Selection, which was a Half-Life 1 mod, but sort of set in a Jinro kind of Neo-Tokyo future. Anyway, the stuff looked great. They got people that are working on it that are moonlighting that have either worked in the past with big name developers or are working with them now, or did some work for Nuclear Dawn and then left and then worked with them. So, and then worked with the big companies like Splash Damage or something like that. So the screens look great, and part of what you're seeing, what this reader is seeing, is that there's a lot of cattiness among mod communities. The more and more I've worked with them, talked to them for different stories I've done, the more I see it's kind of like art school where instead of just like, oh, that's a great drawing, you're doing a really good job, everyone has got to be like, I've got to be better. Damn it. Why are you doing that? Or they'll find some reason to say someone's doing this or that. And I don't know why, because they're all going to end up working on the same mod at one point or another, because it's a fairly small community and there is a lot of back and forth. It's really incestuous and a lot of, you know, toes get stepped on and this and that.
We're all going to end up at EA working on Madden 09.
Right. Or like...
or rugby.
Yeah. I was thinking of something like Wallace and Gromit, this or that. Or, but I don't know. What do you got to do to get in? You know? But anyway, so there's a lot of reason, and some of the people on that team have got bad reputations among the mod community, and there's, you know,
what,
worn
for
it or
divas
not. For being divas, or just sometimes being... pretty arch in the way that they go about business, you know, stealing members from other competing mod teams, trying to get them over on their side and this and that. But basically what happened with the screens is, you know, I was informed before we received them that they hadn't finalized the heads-up display, and so that they wanted to take a mock-up and overlay it on the actual screenshots that they have. And that was that's a fairly common practice. They said, you know, hey, it's going to look better than this when we finalize one. It's just the last thing on our mind right now. We want the game to work before we worry about the exact crosshair we're using and stuff. And that's a fairly common practice. Big publishers do it all the time. You know, the EAs, IDs, the developer, I'm naming publishers and developers. But,
sure.
But it's fairly common. So I was like, hey, that's fine. You know, it's not a big deal. So because of that, and people did work out that the heads-up display had been sort of superimposed on there, they immediately said that the whole thing was smoke and mirrors.
Right.
And, well, that's not the case. From everything I've seen, I mean, the guys at the team constantly show me new screens of what they're doing, and it doesn't make sense that they would be generating this many fakes and frauds of the same scenes from all these different angles and on such a regular basis. It just wouldn't – where would it get anyone? What's the point? Why would you do it?
Right.
No.
Why would you do it? That was my question.
There's no
too.
Reason at all to do
right.
it.
Right. They're not like getting huge, you know.
Yeah. It's not like they got a financer and they're like
right.
trying to pull smoke and mirrors over some like –
Right.
I don't
the Nuclear
know,
Dawn team isn't getting like $2 million worth of investment money.
Not getting any money at all, yeah. No. So, yeah. So, there's the long
So, answer. It is a real game. Yeah. Is our answer to you. So,
have they given you any
So, Mr. Bulbasaur, you may sleep easy tonight.
The beta, they insist, is going to be out soon. I mean, even when we ran the preview, they said the first public beta is going to be in October. So,
cool.
Last I heard from David Lyon on the team, that's still on schedule.
Awesome.
There's your answer. Are we done? Do we have time for one more?
Well,
Let's go
for the hour, man.
Okay, but we got it. So we got to do this in just a few minutes, even though it's like a 6-part question. So hopefully, we'll wrap it up.
And we're actually getting close to the battery on this laptop.
Oh, then we better hurry.
We just cut. All right, I'll read fast.
No, you got time. But.
Adam Ninja Gamer Borman asks, "How do you feel about professional?" Yes, and in quotes, gaming. Is it a legitimate career? Do you think pro gamers can be, called? Is that what it says? I've got to put my glasses on. Do you think pro gamers can be called, I guess,
yeah,
pro?
Do you think pro gamers can be called?
Is pro gaming a sport? Is Fatality a douchebag?
you went through all of that just to get to, is Fatality a douchebag?
You're right.
You're basically, you should get to the punchline.
You're right. That's the only reason I ever wanted to ask
it. You think pro gamers can be called? If they got a phone, sure. Why not call them?
And is Fatality a douchebag? I don't know. I never met the guy.
I've met him on several occasions. I could tell you, in fact, he is not a douchebag, but his handlers are.
Ah.
Oh, crap. Well, there goes the story I've been trying to set up for a year.
Yeah, way to go. Yeah. So, sorry.
Yeah, quick on that.
You're not douchebags.
I want to have a competition where we get Fatality to play on a piece of crap computer against less skilled players that are playing on his personal computers.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about doing for a long time now.
But now that you called his PR handlers douchebags.
I think we might have to beat this one out.
Yeah, read that story in PC Gamer, I guess, because we're not getting it. Way to go, Darren.
No problem. Hey, I tried calling them for like well over a year on that story, and I kept getting like the runarounds or not even return calls.
He's too busy signing mobos and yeah,
you know, the thing
sound.
Is, a lot of,
yeah, he's a sellout now. And a douchebag.
No, hey, we love
He's
already.
Just a marketing he's a marketing machine.
Ho, in other words.
Yeah. In other words, ho.
Okay, so he's not a douchebag, but he's a ho. And what
and
else?
We're calling him out with challenging him to a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Challenge him.
Also, he's afraid of us. That's another thing. This guy's just full of problems.
Ryan would whoop his ass at Gildor so fast.
Dude, I've seen him play Quake, and he looks great. It's merciless.
No, that guy's insane.
Yeah. I tried playing
him. I don't know how you get
chance.
That good.
And we're just kidding, too. He's not a hoe.
He's not a hoe. Unless Derek can say
what he wants.
I don't even know
the guy. He looks like a nice guy, and he's awesome at Quake.
He totally he actually has a really good sense of humor about stuff, and he's actually a really, really nice guy. And I've met him several times over the years.
Is his name really Fatality?
Yes. Why does it have to have an eye in it, though? Because he's elite, man. He's actually half elite.
Yeah. So what do we think about professional gaming?
It's still early on, and there's like...
Pimp.
It's you know what it's.
I wouldn't recommend you drop out of school and pursue that career for those kids listening.
Little Poison,
yeah.
Little Poison.
Is that like seven years old?
Bow Wow.
Yeah, but he's on 1UP. He's like a Halo player.
Oh yeah.
I'll totally pwn you.
I don't know. I just
stay in school, kids.
Little Poison. L-I-L Poison.
I don't know.
Anyway, we're rambling now.
But what do we think? I don't know.
Is there an audience? You need an audience
professional
for such
gaming.
A thing
I think they're. It's kind of tough because I mean I'd rather be playing the games than like.
Yeah. Watching guys who are great play can be a lot of fun.
It's definitely a good experience as Sean plays with his monkey.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. Oh, that's just.
Here's where we need the video podcast because we got Sean Elliott over here playing with a stuffed monkey. This podcast has gone completely downhill. We're so done.
Should have stopped it when we
called
it.
We'll try to tackle that question next time, I guess.
Yeah, we're not in any shape at this point to answer that question, but it's a good one about professional gaming. And in fact, if you want to chime in on that question yourself, maybe we can read some of your opinions on that on our message board at cgw.oneup.com. Right? Is that the right? Yeah. What do you think about professional gaming?
Well, it's
boards.oneup.
All right, actually.
One last thing from Mr. Gladstone.
And this is the Taking Care of Business. Finally, after all these weeks of teasing, we're going to announce the winner of the Get a Life contest.
Woot.
Drew's 3, or Druz, or...
Oh.
Droogie.
He won it. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Matt Drewsthwy Connolly. So
what was his stats?
Yeah. Okay, check it out. So he was online for a total play time of 6 months, 22 days, 17 hours, 42 minutes, and 44 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Paradox Quest. I'm like, what the?
Wow.
I'm like, that's a commitment. So I never even, like,
was this sort of like an EVE Online thing where he was just playing while he was actually not on?
Paradox Quest. Well, he's actually been playing since 99, according to what he...
Holy mackerel.
Anyway, so the screenshots don't lie. So congratulations.
I guess.
On quote, winning. we're going to send you a Z board with a Guild Wars overlay so you can have yet another game that you can
play. Yeah, if you can pry it out of Ryan's fingers.
What the hell?
Play.
He played that game.
Have Ryan sign the Z board.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
That's actually, sign it as your character.
Autographed by Ryan Scott.
It'll
Guild
actually
Wars
be worth
number
less.
One fan.
What?
Not for free, I'm not.
That's sign right. it in pizza grease.
That's right. Guild,
the only way to do it.
Guild Wars superfan type slash pizza, and then he'll, like, sign it.
Okay. Sorry, Ryan. All right. So we're done for this week. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week. Goodbye.